Oh, comme un chiffre comme nous là. Je vais vous dire pourquoi c'est pas un chiffre même là. C'est aussi où. It's done. Oh God, we need a clean heart. We need a heart that's disentangled from all the things carried right from time immemorial, generation before we're born. We need a heart that's completely devoid of all of those things.
Oh, yes.
To come to you, to serve you, Jesus. So we call you today, O God, that you might clean us up, O God.
Amen.
That you might, you know, clean us up, clean our members, Jesus. Because nothing bad can stand before you, Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. We come and say, no man sees you, O God, that remains the same. We come, O God, that there may be a complete turnaround, change.
Amen,
you know, Hallelujah. We come, O God, we ask that this bread of life touches our soul, O God. Let there be a true and fresh nourishment, O God. That will take away the desire of all that we have been partaking of this time, O God. For now, the fresh breath, the true light, let this light, O God, shine on our hearts, O God, Jesus. Oh, that every darkness that is in us, O God, all the creeping darkness, all the darkness in different shades and forms that we even know not, might give way, O God. And that light might permeate, O God, right into our hearts. And bring forth life, O God.
Amen.
And bring forth that which is able to stand before you, void of offense, O God, Jesus, and give that which belongs to you. Because we know we can offer nothing, O God, that you did not in the first place make. So we want to bring that which you make, O God, that which you have created right from the beginning, the foundation of the world. Jesus, we don't want to bring anything that man has made. We want to bring that which you
Amen.
Back to you, God. He said, to give unto Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and unto God what belongs to God. We bring that which belongs to you, God. We want to offer it back to you, God. So we ask that you bring us to that place where we will be able to offer that to you, God. Not from a far country. We don't want to sing, oh God. We don't want to give this, oh God, in a strange land, oh God. We want to come, oh God, into that place, oh God. Your abode, oh God. Into that place, as we give, oh God, there will be deliverance in our members, oh God.
Yes.
He said, in Mount Zion, they shall be delivered.
Yes.
The sons of Jacob shall possess their possession,
yes.
Oh Lord, we ask that you help us. You bring us, drift us, oh God, each day. Ha! Drift us, take us, oh God, into that place. Let us look not back, oh God, to that which we come from, oh God, Jesus. Oh Lord, we ask that you help us.
Amen.
Jesus, help us, oh God. We ask that you help us in this journey away from our kindred, away from all our people, and everything we have known, oh God, up until this time, oh God. And you might take us, oh God, into that place, oh God, where you want to give to us, where you want to show to us. He said, where you are, God, there also we might be, oh God. He said, you have gone to prepare a place, oh God, that where you are might be, oh God. He said, your Father's house. There are many mansions, oh God. There are many places of abode, oh God, Jesus. Oh, we ask that you help us, oh God. That you help us, oh God. Help our desire. Heal our emotion. Heal our will, oh God. Oh, bring us to that place, oh God, where we might see and desire and want this thing, oh God, that you are sure that you want to give to us. Oh yes, Jesus. Cause that they arise in an expectancy for your appearing, for your coming. Because you're coming to them only that wait for you.
Oh yes.
Oh, we bless you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We bless you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
We come not as planned, oh God. We don't plan these things, oh God. But God, you laid all out according to your divine purpose, your divine appointment, oh God. Oh, we accept that divine appointment. And we come this day, oh God. We ask that that which you want to feed us, oh God. We are available, Lord Jesus. We ask that in our hearts, oh God, be ready, oh God, to give that which we need to give in exchange for this thing you want to do to us. cause us not to hold back, O God. Amen. We ask for the blood of Jesus, that which is sufficient unto this operation, O God. That which is sufficient unto this occasion. Let it be available, O God, in the name of Jesus. And let it stand for every heart, O God. Let it stand, O God. Where there is sin, O God, let the blood, O God, stay and speak on our behalf. He said, this blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel, O God. Let his blood speak, O God, on our behalf, O God. That we might come to you, O God, like this. We come with boldness, we come with confidence, for we know that He is in us, O God. We know that that which you have for us, O God, oh Lord, from the foundations of the world, is able to bring us into that promise, O God, into that inheritance, O God. But we know we come with faith, O God. That's how you help us, O God. Let His faith, O God, bring us, help us, O God. Even when it seems as what we see is too big, O God, that men say, how can this thing be, O God? But Lord, we move with faith, O God. We see not all these things, but we see you right at the high time of the Father. Come, seated, O God, minister, O God, bringing healing unto your people, O God, that they might be partakers of this thing, O God. Oh, we bless you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We lay complete all our plans that you might give you yourself. Be thou exalted. Be thou lifted up. Be thou lifted up. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. I was just thinking of the upper room you mentioned. I think there was a time he shared a word about the upper room. The Shulamite woman prepared an upper room for Elijah, I think, where Elijah would go to, you know, and there are places where you also find, there'll be a room for the prophet, you know, he had the little chamber for the prophet, you know, where he said there was a bed, a table, you know, and a chair, where a place where you could be. And I also remember that you have the place in Acts, of course, they talked about the upper room, but there's another place also in Luke, where Jesus was born in a little room, in a little room somewhere, and the whole place in the inn, all the rooms were all occupied. But it was just a little chamber, a room somewhere, where he was. In my mind, when you talk of the upper room, to me, you have the impression of the holiest of all. As a place that the Holy Ghost came. So it speaks of the realm of the Spirit. That's how it came to me. Because when you look at the human being is a temple, you have three realms or three dimensions or three parts or three natures, the physical, the spiritual, and then the spirit, which will be the upper room, because that's the place the Spirit came to. You understand? While they were in the upper room, the Holy Ghost came. So it speaks of a type, because the Scripture is always written in types and shadows. That you use natural things to show, and in the things of the Spirit and in the Scriptures, there is nothing that is for nothing. That is everything that is there. Even when he says and this one was the father of this. This one was it. We still don't have the. But if you spend time enough to look at the names, you look at the letters, because in the Hebrew, every letter has a mathematical value. Every letter in the Hebrew has a mathematical value. You know, and when you calculate everything, you see it comes up to something. You know. The alphabets, the words, the vowels, everything, it's all interwoven, you know. So that's why scripture is so deep, that what we are even touching is just, we are still just looking at the introductory aspect of, you know, of the scriptures. Even what you say, oh, this is great revelation, is really nothing compared with, you know, that which God is bringing. So as you spoke, that was what came to me, that you're looking at, you're speaking of the three dimensions, and that's really where God wants us to be, you know, in that place of the Spirit, you know, because see, the Spirit is that which the devil cannot duplicate. It's the only thing that the devil cannot duplicate, you know. And the devil cannot walk with you in the realm of the Spirit. He wants to bring you down, you know, to his own realm. And we are so much at home with, you know, if I, you know, one of the things that God is speaking to us about is darkness, and we are just beginning to touch it. And the more you look at it, the more it becomes more frightening, because, you know, what you will regard as darkness is not, well, what God will regard as darkness is what you will take as your normal, legitimate life. You know, so it's like, it's becoming very, very narrow, what you can allow and what you cannot allow, because the definition is becoming more and more and more, you know. And it's like you have to come out of it, you know, you have to come out. You know, out of that situation, and I was just praying about it, and the scripture that tends to give you, well, maybe it's broad enough, you know, that it gives you sort of like a guide, is Genesis 12:1. You know, I just have my Bible open to it, you know, Genesis 12:1. It's talking about darkness, you know. Three levels of darkness, and is the easiest form of, the easiest way to look at it, you know, to begin to work at it. You know, it's in this place God is calling Abraham, say walk. You know, God said, God has spoken to Abraham that, you know, he was taking him to some place, Canaan. All right. And in order for Abraham to get to Canaan, he had to come out of something. He had to come out of his nativity, you know, his situation, his surrounding, and what he was used to, you know. And you want to ask yourself, what was Abraham used to? You know, Abraham was an idol worshipper. He came from Chaldea. The Chaldeans were renowned all over the world as the people who were. When you talk of the third eye, you talk about magic, soothsaying, fortune telling, mysteries. It was that was their normal take. It was, you know, in fact, they say, when you say somebody's a Chaldean, it means somebody who is wise, the magi, the, you know, all the, you know, so they had insight into spiritual things, you know. So they were magicians. They dealt with spirits. They read the stars. You know, astrology, they read the stars, they could, you know, there are different forms of it. They, you know, they kill a goat and they look at the liver, the nature and the colors and so on of the, they tell the fortune from the liver. You know, they pour a drink offering, they look at it, they throw a dice, they look at it. The way when you pour a drink, the way the drink moves in the cup, is a fortune. You know, so these guys were, that is their, you know, so what you are saying now is, listen, I mean, so that is the origin of it. You know, the Chaldeans, they were magicians, they dealt with in the occult, the alternative religion. And you see, the alternative religion, yeah, you see, you know, comes from the Hamites, it comes from Ham, the second, the last son of Noah, who was cursed, and the Hamites ruled the world. The first century, the first generation of the world, belonged to the black man, to the Hamites, the Egyptians. When you hear about the Egyptians, Archimedes, all those people, you know, those are Hamites. You know, the first Egyptian pharaohs were Hamites. The people that built the sphinxes, all those things you see, all those are Hamites. You know, they were descendants of Nimrod. You know, and it was a rebellion. You know, it is still darkness. The devil, you know, the thing about darkness, you know, it was a principle of rebellion against God. You know, so it's something that spread all over the world. And in the time of Abraham, in that darkness, God came to a man. You understand? So when you are looking at the song, it's a little is much. God didn't call, just come and call the whole tribe. He came to one man and said, you know, are you ready to respond to me? You know? So Abraham's father was an idol worshiper, his family was idol worship, his nation was the Babylonians, of course, they are the ones that built that tower. You know what I mean? Even though the people were dispersed, you know, they went to different parts of the world. If you go to the Aboriginal English peoples, the Celtics, they were all headhunters. You go to Scotland, the same thing. You see the mother worship, they dress like women. Wear skirts, it's the same thing. You know, I actually came over from, Europe, where they worship Thor, the thunder. You know, the Norwegian thunder. Good. And if you go, so you can trace it. You come down to our own place. You have the what they call the Anyanwu. That is the Igbos. You call it. They worship the sun. You know, Yoruba. You have this Shango, Ogun. All those are things. They're all related. If you go down towards the cross river, of course you have the same mother and child, son, God kind of thing. So it's all that from that Babel. You understand? From that thing. You know? So the darkness covered the world and it hasn't changed. In fact, the darkness is being revived now because the wound of the beast was healed. There was a wound. At the time Jesus died, it was a very strong blow that was given to darkness. But it has been resurrected. And it must be resurrected so that it comes to fullness. Because in the fullness of it, God will judge. But you see, if God is going to judge it, He's coming again to a people in the midst of that darkness, and He's taking, you know, the word of God is coming to somebody and saying, look, the same thing. You know, so He told Abraham, you must come out of your nation. You must come out of your tribe. And you must come out of your family. You know. And these are depths of darkness that are within. You know. So for us, if you look at Abraham's story, it's historical. He was coming from Babylon, which is the top of the world. And, you know, much as you may not like it, or I may not like it, but the truth is that the world is a realm of hell. You know, when you say hell, it makes, you may not listen, but you see, the world is a realm of rebellion. And the world is a realm of good and evil. That is the story of the world. In fact, if you read Genesis 3, it says, thorns and thistles shall it produce to you. In all these thorns and thistles, all the sorrow and pain. You see, in the sweat of your face, you will labor. That's not how God fed the soul of man. So it was a river, it was a water. God watered, the Spirit watered and fed and nourished the soul of man. You understand? There was a river that was in there that was doing that watering, that was bringing life. And in that economy of God, God is bringing us back into that economy where this, by the Spirit, there will be a watering of our soul. You know, if you look at, I think it's Revelation 7, you know, where he said, shooting me a crowd of people, say, who are these? Say, these are they that have come out of a great tribulation. We are just entering the great tribulation. I'm not entered there too. All these things you are seeing here is just the beginning of sorrows. We are just practicing, you know. You know, we are entering into darkness. And one of the things that will happen in the darkness, in the tribulation, is that you see the temple will be cleansed, and the sacrifice will be restored. You see, because you see, in the middle of the 70th week, you say that the sacrifice and offering was stopped. You understand? And for the spreading of the abomination, there shall be, you know, the desolation shall be made desolate. That's a judgment that is going to come because of the iniquity that is going to reign. You see, until a time, times, and dividing of times. And so when you look at it, you know, if you look at Daniel, it gives you three figures. You know, you say until 2,500, you talk about this, you know, 1,390, I think that's another one. And in all of, if you look at all those figures given, and one of the major things, say, what are they? Says that at this time shall the temple be restored, and the sacrifice will be restored. You know, so the temple that is being restored is speaking of the temple of man, this three dimensions that is in a human being. That temple must be restored, and the sacrifice and the offerings will be restored.
Speak about daily sacrifice. It means Sunday.
What is it now? Yes, you got me. There is nothing like Sunday. Sunday is Sunday. What is Sunday? It's the man-made.
Yes.
It's Sunday is something that is done to pattern us into a particular mode of, say, you work for 7 days, then this is not.
Even Jesus Christ, when he was telling the woman by Jesus, said that
do that worship God.
Yes, go up to that mountain.
Yes, it's gone. So those that worship God in spirit and in truth. You understand?
It's like the damage is refined such that you can't really, as you said, distinguish. Now you are talking.
The darkness is very, 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 very civilized. The darkness is a 21st century man.
Yes.
You know, it's very civilized. One time God showed me the English spirit. If you have seen a man that is well refined, that was what I saw. With coat tails, he was dressed with his tie, bow tie, and all that. And God told me that's the English spirit. Yeah. So the civilization you're looking at is Rome. All you're seeing is the high point of Rome. Everything you're looking at, your modern technology, modern man, and all that, is just Rome. I see that this is the last kingdom that shall rule on the earth. He says she will tear down and destroy, and he says it will seek to change the times and the laws. You understand? So it's changing human relationship, and what it is doing is actually bringing all the humanity. That is, it's the carnality. That's God is not in it. If you want to be a modern man, you remove God. You know, you go to a meeting. They say everybody maintain a silent meditation. Do people do it when you go for meetings in your office? Okay, people don't pray.
So we pray.
Okay, don't worry. Okay, when you come now, nobody pray. Everybody maintain a moment of silent meditation. You pray to whatever God you have.
Yeah.
It's going out. I'm telling you, this is not. I'm talking about here.
You know, you understand?
It's
going out. You see, we don't pray then.
Yeah, I even want to bring come from another dimension. Like 5 years ago, you know, it was difficult for you to use the Nigerian card abroad.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But you know that now.
Yes.
Visa,
everything is coming.
MasterCard, everything.
Yes. Yes.
Something that.
So that when they want to collapse it, everything.
Yes.
Except one. Yes. If this thing.
That's sucking us in. The cashless thing is coming in. The cashless thing is coming in. You know, I just want to go and open an account where I can. If I go to England, I draw money from.
Yes.
You know, I just have Naira account. I just draw dollars or pounds. It's anything you want, you take it. And it's very, the interest rate is very cheap. Yeah. I was shocked that it was very cheap. Of course now.
So gradually you are being sucked into it.
They're being encouraged. It's Global 2000.
Yes.
It's a new one. They know that Africa, because these guys have not been regulated. So what they're doing, they're coming in through the financial destiny and this. Their God is bad. They're not hiding it. If you see Europa, somebody showed me the film of the European Union. It is a woman sitting on a beast. You know, and that is, Europa was a princess that was raped by another God. one of the Greek gods, and carried her right into the ship, into the sea, and she was carrying him, her on the horse. So that's why you see the woman on the, you know. So that, so they're not hiding it. Oh no, it was Baal worship, all through beginning.
I don't know if you know this, Joseph Herring. There's one guy that writes parables, the parables dot blog or something like
okay.
that.
Okay.
You know, is it?
Okay, is it the one that he analyzed the things that happened at the opening ceremony? Okay, I saw that. I read it. No, that one.
The bells around, yes.
It was bad worship, all true.
Herring.
It was my daughter that showed me the thing. I read it on the internet. He gave analysis of everything. Everything they did was all by worship. Everything. There was nothing that was said. If you look at the eye, it was just like the light was shaped like the eye.
It's like somebody was sitting on top.
Those people are Baal worshippers. They're not hiding it. It's coming out. Before they were used to be this. Now they're coming out very, very bold. You know, so because they are getting more and more bold. So that's the darkness. But you see, you are looking for darkness as a man that has white mark, and you say this is a darkness. No. The man that is wearing suit and tie, he is the occult.
So why do they only expect?
That's what we are looking at. So that. First of all, to escape from the situation, first of all, to realize for me is that I am dwelling in hell. This is my own. That's my own approach. So I know I am an inhabitant of hell. That is what it is. So because see, when you look at the tabernacle. Okay, let's put it this way. This was the way I put it. Now, when a man is born into the world, he is on his way to the lake of fire. You understand what I'm saying? That's where I look. That's where, you know, God showed it to me. You understand? He says, "Behold, I was shaping in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." You understand? So that child, that soul, is conceived in iniquity. What does that mean? When the female and male seed come together, it is life. You understand? And in that life is a transference of spirits. Yeah, that's what you have to understand. It's a transference of spirits. The whole thing is so both what is coming from the female and from the, it's all spirits. You understand that has come into that. That is now that soul is it's in a realm of desolation. There's nothing about God in it. It doesn't know God. It doesn't care about God. It's switched off from God. There's no input of life of God coming in, and that soul. Can never, it says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom. It's no way. You know? That soul has its own mind, its own will, its own emotion. You know, and it's doing its own thing. It's, you know, scripture calls it the kings of the earth. They are, you know, it says that when you do, you shall be as gods. You understand? Adam wanted to be a god. The eyes were open. So he was. The darkness that was with their potential for darkness was activated. You understand? So when you say darkness, good, it's a mixture of good and evil. Yes.
I look at when Jesus.
Yes.
I think it's the same darkness that Jesus Christ referred to as the abomination of desolation.
Yes.
Taken by off by Daniel.
Oh yes.
Abomination of desolation.
Yes.
But the way it's coming out to me clearly right now is that look, he is like a trickery. It's very tricky.
Deceptive. It's deceptive.
You don't even know that you are in it.
Mm. Yes.
Something is creeping in.
They have brought it right into
yes.
where they're supposed to be
yes.
Sacrificed.
Yes. They turned the Olympic thing to a bar worship. Okay. But you see, that's taking very far. It is this thing you're looking at here. This is this.
Yes.
It's an altar of Baal. This thing you're looking at here, even though you can use it for righteousness, but this is, you know, this is working on principles of sorcery, of mind control. You understand? This thing you're looking at, you know, I ask myself, you look at, I mean, you are an IT person. Ask you, what is cloud?
Cloud computing.
What is cloud? Where is the cloud?
Wait,
no, that's what I'm saying. No, just let me ask you, where is the cloud?
In the air.
Which air?
In the realm that's.
You see, no, that's why I said, that's why God will judge us. Because you see, you are using spiritual principles. And yet, when the word of God starts, there are some things I cannot even say that. Because if I say, it's like, no, this man is going into occult. Do you understand? The people of God, look at this. What is this?
It's very spiritual.
What is this? Steve Jobs was an occultist.
Some people, when this thing gets lost,
you understand what I'm saying? Steve Jobs was an occultist. So they are working on the principles of the mind, of the soul. Yes, that's what they're working in. You know, it's the same principles that they have used and they have brought it down, and the whole world is into it. But meanwhile, when it comes to the things of God, we think that the Bible, oh no, it's not interesting, it's so dull and all that. You know, because it is darkness. So darkness is enlarging. So even the job you are in, you are working, your job itself is darkness. I don't know if you understand. If you go back to Genesis, it says, in the sweat of your face, you're going to eat. That is because of, you say, dust thou art, and to dust will thou return. It's a curse. That the man, see a man laboring and walking and walking. It's a curse. That's not the way God wants it to be. You understand? And whatever you are doing is just going to minister to your body. Your soul is not ministered to. You understand? So you have to make an extra effort to be able to hook up to God, like you said, the upper room, hook up, so that the Spirit of God can minister to your soul. Now, the thing is that it's so unique that your soul cannot be affected by any... That is, for you to receive the life of God, it must be by the Spirit. It's only the Spirit that can affect your soul positively, bring the light of God. So if I come now and everything I'm doing is carnal, it's not going to be of any use to you. Yeah. There's anything carnal. Any carnal ministry is not going to add to you spiritually. It will only give you knowledge. It make you more religious. But it are not dealt to darkness. Darkness can only be dealt with by the Spirit. So our ministry must be in the Spirit to be able to judge the darkness. You know? So Paul says that when I come to you, I'm not going to come with what? Excellency. I'm going to come to you by the Spirit. Because it's the Spirit that will judge the darkness. So the thing is that man is full of darkness. In fact, the power of darkness is within you. It's within me. You understand? You know, so he said, so that's why he told him, the only way God could deal with it, he said, look, come out from your family, come out from your tribe, come out from your nation. Now, that was external. But even the external is important now. Why is it important? Because every other soul you meet, you understand, is communicating darkness to you.
Yes.
Your uncles, your aunties, yes. your wife, your children, yes. People you are working with. It's, and that's what the Bible calls the sea.
Mm.
Do you understand? Mm. It says there shall be no more sea. What it means is that God would have, you know, will come to the point where he would deal with that darkness that is external. But the darkness that is within is bigger than the darkness that is outside. You understand? Within man is a universe. Within your soul is, that's the only way God can dwell in you. Because there is the vastness of the realm of the Spirit in you is unlimited. And that is what the ICT people are trying to explore. They're exploring that potential of, you know, of communication of light and energy. It's light. You understand? But you see, the light of God is beyond, is a much more higher dimension than what they are looking at. And if you want to understand, if you look at Ezekiel chapter 1, it gives you that's the basic definition of what the soul of man is. So those living creatures, that they run and return as light, as the appearance of light, flashes of light. That is how the soul is. It's the nature of light. But you see, if it's a nature of light, that means it can also have the nature of darkness. You understand? Because anything that can be light means it has the potential for darkness. And that is what the devil went for. He went to switch off the light and bring forth the nature of darkness into man. You know what? What he's trying to do is that the darkness will swallow, overcome the light. It's trying to prove that the darkness can overcome the light. And that man is so much adapt to darkness, to that nature which is contrary to God, that he can never come up to the light. So see, what is involved is not a question of say, let me go and preach and let people be saved. What is involved is to overcome darkness. So if you're able to understand that the Christian fight is to overcome darkness, and that the first in the darkness within you. The darkness within you, you have control over. You understand? The ones that in other people, well, they have to decide what they're going to do. But for you, say for me, I'm a house. This is the house. This house, you know, we're going to serve the Lord. You know, and the only way you can do that is to bring an offering. So first of all, is to understand what are you fighting? What are you dealing with? You are dealing with darkness within the soul, in your mind, in your emotions, in your desire, and so on. Everything is all in the realm of the devil. That is beginning from, you are starting from the point of weakness. That is, the devil is in control. But you see, that's why it is going to be a great miracle that God is going to take you from the depths of darkness and bring you to the depths of God. You know, and that is why it's, you know, God is not going to be, it's just like a flash in the pan. You know, it's, God has been doing it. You know, it's working. He has a plan to be able to bring forth the people that will overcome. But you see, it so happens that for us, we are not seeing far. We're not seeing deep enough. It's so short and so superficial that, you know, we're only looking at, someone says, I want to go to heaven. Like, I just come and think, God, I don't have a job. God, give me a job and all that. All those are really not addressing the issue. The issue is that man was born in darkness. A man was born a rebel. Man was born as a hostile being to God. So the carnal man is what? He's hostile. It's an enmity. It's a very fine English word. It's hostile to God. So if you see yourself, as someone who is hostile to God, then you'll be able to understand the darkness. Man, natural man, is hostile to God and to the things of God. It's injurious to God. You understand? So there's no way God, it's like you go to bring a lion, say it's your friend. How can you bring a lion? The lion will destroy you. Unless you do something to the lion. How would you do something? You must go inside the lion and change the nature of the lion.
Okay, let me tie it to the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Because you mentioned the lion, and find out that the lion is not wild because he wants to his image.
Good.
And the lamb is not gentle because he wants to, he's not acting with his image.
Good.
Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit that we will manifest, is this something we are going to act or trying to struggle with it to bring it out?
No, it's not. The way I understand it, it's like you have a seed. You have a seed. There are two seeds, seed of life and the seed of darkness. Good and evil is darkness. There are two seeds that are within you. You understand? The seed cannot germinate unless there is water, there is a nourishment. You understand? The seed of life in you can only respond to the Spirit of God. That's the life of God. If you receive the life of God, it begins to grow and manifest. You don't tell you tell this tree to become green?
The sign will sound that it should renew the right spirit in us.
That's what I'm saying. So what it means is, you see, you have to open your heart to God, to the Holy Ghost. That is your will. Everything you do it must be an offering. That's why the Romans, everything they did was sacrifice. If the Romans want to watch television, he will make a sacrifice. If he wants to go and eat, they have sacrifice for everything. The Egyptians, they sacrifice everything. A frog is a god. Ant is a god. They had so many gods. Because, you see, the principle that they saw, you know, they said there are many gods. You know, that was the revelation they had. But the truth is that you must bring an offering to God. And it's a willing offering. That is to say, God, I, Cletus, I give you my soul. I put off the old man and I receive Christ. You see, let's put it this way. If you decide for a moment, I'm going to be angry. Or now, you think of something, a bad image. Let me think about it. immediately your body starts responding. That is how your body starts responding, your soul starts responding when you bring an offering to God.
Mm.
But the devil tells you nothing is happening. You understand? You see, we do not yet know what it shall be, but we know that when he comes, that we shall be like him. It's like a metamorphosis. You know, you see the butterfly, it's all covered. You don't know what is going on. There's a change taking place. But that change is not going to be revealed until the time appointed.
Okay. Because
so the offering is your will. Your will. I will. Like, okay. You've left your house now and you have come here.
Yes.
It's an offering.
Yes. Yes.
See, that is the work God wants you to do.
Mm.
To say, I, Cletus, I am going to be in Aki's house by 5 o'clock. That is an offering you have made. So when you make that offering and give it to God, then God takes over. But first of all, you must make that decision. I will come. I will do so and so and so. I'm going to have an appointment with God. I will have times I do this. It's the offering of your will that you are bringing. And you are gradually bringing your will and you are giving it over to God. Now, the more you do that, you are drawing close to God. You are stepping away from darkness. You understand? That's what I'm saying. So, as the Spirit of God begins to come into your life, the life of God will begin to come. Naturally, you will begin to like the things of God.
Yes.
You understand? You will not do it. You know, naturally, the things of the devil, it will be injurious to you. If somebody plays the music, you say, no, I don't want that kind of music. Like this man, he sleeps, I eat. Yes, because you see, there's a life, he's ministering.
Yes.
Any other music, it's offensive to you, don't want it. Because see, your nature is changing. Yeah, begin to hate darkness. You understand? And you are loved. You see, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity.
Yes.
But you see, because the thing is so deep, it has to be by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost knows what he's going to do and what he needs to do to be able to bring that change in you. You understand? So that's why there's no way anyone can say, well, because I say, well, Jesus come into my life, I'm not ready to go to heaven. No. It says, I will go into them and I will change them.
Yeah.
The work is within.
Mm.
You understand? The work is within. Not just to change, but see, God has to bring an energy into you. What he calls the golden pot of man. That means, I will be a spring of life.
Yeah.
There has to be a source of energy, of life in you. So Christ must be formed in you to fullness. So when you get born again, there's Christ is formed in you. There's Christ in you. Without Christ, it's not full. That's Christ can be aborted. You know so? Say, I pray God until Christ be formed. You can reject Christ. You know, because you have not yet come to the fullness. So that's why you cannot worship the Christ in you. As some people are doing, so let me worship the Christ in you. You can't do that. Because the Christ in you is not full. It's still matured. Sorry, it's still... maturing, yes, it hasn't come to fullness.
What do you mean by worship the Christ in you?
No, there were some people, there were some group of people who were saying that there's Christ in you, so I worship the Christ in you.
Or maybe they are even doing it not deliberately right now. Like, I see Christ in this man. And
so, what would they worship the man?
Oh, yeah, it's part of it.
No, because right now, I mean, look at when we say, okay, look, this pastor.
Uh-huh. That is it.
See, look, this man has the word.
That's part of it. Yeah, the glory is swayed by it. But the point is that the Christ that every one of us will have a measure of Christ. And as you grow, there is a growth of that glory in you. But you see, it's not yet come to fullness. And will never come to the point where it will contain all of the fullness of God. No, I can only comfort in the fullness of God to a measure. You understand? You will comfort in a measure. So in coming together, that is the fullness of him that filleth all in all.
Mm.
You understand what I'm saying? So that's it. But the Christ in our midst is perfect.
Yes. Mm. Yes,
right. You understand? Christ is in our midst now. Other brethren who are meeting somewhere, he's there in the fullness. You understand? Then Christ is also there as a personality. That's the man, Christ Jesus, as a person. You understand? So there are three dimensions of Christ. Christ as a person, that anywhere the body manifests, he will be there. Do you understand? So those who say Jesus is not coming in the flesh, they don't understand the doctrine of Christ. You understand? They're only looking at just one dimension of Christ. The Christ as a man. See, look, it says, He will call his name Christ. He said, the man, Christ Jesus. He said, Jesus was a man, the Son of God, incarnated in a human flesh. And that flesh changed. Yeah. And if you continue with God, your flesh will change. You understand? Because see, when man fell, it was the spirit, soul, and body that fell. And that is the way of resurrection, the spirit first. The spirit was going to certainly marry the soul. The soul is going to go with this. It may not be everybody, but in a group of people, the soul will go with the spirit. And when that happens, the body will change. This body is going to change. Already, if you look at Hollywood, Hollywood is gone ahead of you. You see those films, see them, the man stands up and he's flying around. Don't you watch the films? Hollywood, they have gone ahead because they understand. But the church is the only one that doesn't understand. You understand? They know. This body is just a machine. You put the right fuel, it moves. The right fuel is the energy of God. You understand? That life of God. When you come, this body will change. Already now, they are toying with DNA. They are trying to get immortal genes. Genes that you get that you will not die. That gene is there. It's there. Is that? That's why God is going to intervene very quickly. That gene is there. There is an immortal gene. There is something that God will turn. He switch it on. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. God is going to. And what God will do is that God is going to bring confusion amongst them.
Yes.
Yeah. God is going to bring confusion and judge that. So all the things that you are seeing is going to crumble. We don't know how it's going to be. You know. So. I mean, so you have to be able to sit down and look at your situation and say, look, this is Babylon. This is man-made.
Yes.
Do you know that? Okay, look at. Let me use my own profession. What is medicine? You are studying something that is cursed. Don't you understand? Man is cursed. It's a cursed. Is are you? So the man you are looking at has been reduced. It's not the original man. So it's darkness. Everything about medicine is darkness. Everything about engineering is darkness. Don't you understand? But you are driving a nice car, isn't it so? That is the deception. You don't understand the darkness. The darkness is working at a high level. So if you understand it, then the thing will not take you. You know, I said, look, I'm in Babylon. You understand? So when you are there, you're not going to give yourself to it. You will never get me. I'm a kangaroo academic. Because I know that I can never give myself to it. No way. They will not have it. I will do it, but I will just give them 1/10 of myself. The rest is for God. You know, I do it enough to eat. You know, Paul said, so it's tent making. You are just doing it so that you can eat and get on. But don't think that you are going to be there and you are going to give yourself everything you have. It's like, and that's like you say, some people, they came to the water, they knelt down. In fact, they were lying down like drinking the water. He said, you understand? The rabbi said, no, I'm not going to do that. He was laughing. You understand? He was ready. That is our interaction with the world. That we must not submit everything. You know, it's like, just, you know. But we must deal with the world from the point of view that it is an enemy. So I'm only taking that which is good. Do you know what someone was telling me now? I'm sure you people know. That it's not possible to get an oil company job above 2 million without joining Oboni. Someone was telling me. Now, I don't know, maybe if you will lie. This is a contractor. He said they'll give you 500,000, 1 million. But when it comes to 2, 3 million, the day they will sign the contract, they will bring out the form. If you're not ready, say sorry. I'm telling you. This is what the person was telling me. It's so bad. Already, I knew the one on politics. All these councillors, they forget it. PDP, on the night of the they will put the pot there or put the coffin. So my friend, if you want, jump over the coffin, and you sign the form. I'm telling you, Jonathan joined the Boni very clear. You may not know, but I know. He joined. So these guys are not my brothers. So I'm not going to swear by them. I'm only praying that God can use them to make sure I have light so I can charge my iPad and I read my Bible.
we must,
you know what I'm saying?
We
have to rise above them. That's the only way we can beat them.
Yeah. So I think there's an insight I'm getting from what you just said that is very key to me. That is, yes, the world, we already know that it's darkness.
Yes.
We just take the good aspect of it and then not submitting ourselves.
That's right.
So that we are not being ruled by the things we see.
That's right.
There is no more commitment and attachment to
that. Is it? That is it. Yes. That is it. That is the offering. You see, when you do that, you see, you are giving yourself. It's an offering you are giving to God. Say, God, I give myself to you. I am in the world, but not off.
The world, that's right. Mm-hmm. I think that's what Christ did. I mean, he said, well, I just take them off.
Yes, yes, yes.
But they are going to overcome this. It's like,
yes.
And then the whole mission is,
To overcome the darkness. So, the thing is that everything in the world, in fact, the way God showed it to me is, you see, that seed of good and evil mm-hmm. multiplied. Everything you see around you is the fruit of that tree. I'm telling you, civilization,
Hollywood.
Cars, Hollywood, the food you're eating, the dress you're wearing, everything you see is good and evil. Because Adam didn't take that. So what you are now getting is that the life of God is just coming in an ocean. Like you say, Nigeria is what? A drop of oil in an ocean of gas. So you have the life of God, just a drop of it, in the ocean of darkness. You understand? And that's why in some places, when the light comes, after 5-10 days, that thing God has said has become a denomination.
You see, at some point, sorry, the apostles, even the disciples, did not understand.
Of course.
Because that man that cut the hair of one of the people that were coming to arrest.
It was Peter.
He didn't know what he was up against.
Mm-hmm.
I just imagine the disciples saying that, look, this is our Lord, this is our Savior, this is someone who has raised the dead, who has healed this thing. He can command angels from heaven to
hear
these people. And so he decided to help himself.
And then what you're trying to do, he can't even help it. This thing is something that it's beyond just
even
if you heal that
physical body,
you don't
even. It's very deep, and for me, I'm even praying that I will still be able to see the darkness, because when there's a revelation of it in your heart, that's the judgment. You understand? You'll be able to cut off. There are so many things that we are doing that are binding us because it hasn't come to us that it is darkness.
Oh yes.
You understand? It doesn't. We have not accepted that it's darkness, so we are still playing around with it. Okay.
We don't even know.
Yes.
It also goes beyond even accepting. What you don't even know, you can't even.
I come to the point of accepting. That's right.
Knowledge is important. I think.
Yes. Yes.
We are sharing now. Receiving an insight because yes, it's of the truth. There is darkness because if there is no darkness, this will not have told the disciple that we should. Let our light shine.
That's right.
So which means there is darkness. He wants that us to our light to shine like light in the world.
That's right.
People will see it.
That's right.
The other thing is that even not getting the knowledge is not going to alleviate you from the consequence.
Oh no.
So that's why knowledge.
No.
The people perish for lack of knowledge. Right. Mm-hmm. So knowledge, you have to have that knowledge.
What Bro is saying now is like the dream you shared. So many people were in prison and they were very happy going in, and they come out and they go back. They were so comfortable.
Mm.
And they shared something like
that. Okay.
I remember the fellowship we had in Gabon when one brother was saying, when he was talking about the different levels, he said there are some things at that moment that he cannot do again, not because they are wrong, but because he knows better.
Yes.
That yes, at some point, at that level of Christianity, he was able to accept those things, and he was able to do it. That yes, some Christians will be doing it right now, but when they understand better, then the attachment they have towards things like that, he said, they will change.
Mm-hmm.
Remember.
Mm-hmm.
So the way it was
become a man, lay aside
childish.
That gradually you will leave milk.
That's right. That's right. This is the meat of the world.
Milk of the world.
That's
able to save
you. That of those who have grown up to maturity, they have to be able to differentiate the spirit from the from the
So I think that's where we are at this moment, when you see, as the understanding comes, as the light comes, then we realize the darkness around us. That, then we realize, oh, this is what we have been in, and then we begin to gradually detach ourselves from them. That's the way.
You know, so it's really a big, it's really a big challenge to be able to come up to that level, you know. And sometimes I get discouraged because I'm looking at the church. I see where we are. You know, well, more interested in platform, my church, my denomination, this. And it's not addressing the darkness at all. You know, so it's more of a movement, and that's why you see, God starts something within just give 5 years, 10 years, it's organized. You know, but you see, God moves on. If God's still trying to bring a people that will come to a point of understanding. You know, of understanding what it is that is in the mind of God, you know, and so that is the challenge that we have to be able to, in this time, come out of the religion, to rise above just church, you know, church coming together, saying have a good time, blah blah blah, and those of us who are kind of educated, you know. It's a, you know, we bring it to a level, you know, we civilize church, you know. it becomes a social status, you know. Like in Lagos now, so the big pastors are young millionaires, you know. They come together, put money down, and, you know, we get AC, get the pastor, buy him a nice car, we bring a nice word, they have sing, and all those things. It becomes a club. You know, it becomes a club. You have to come to it. Yeah, to fit in. Yes, you can't. Yes, yeah, right. Because they were talking of, oh, this is I did, this I didn't do, and all those kind of things, and you can't fit in. You know, so gradually it becomes a social club. It becomes a millionaire's club. You know, so it's really deceptive. You know, but I think the beginning point is, if we're able to understand what is this darkness, and then the fact that it's in my heart, then I begin to deal with it, I begin to address it, you know, and you begin to see it, at least see it for what it is, because if you know what it is, then you can address it and you can come out of it, you know. I think God has brought us to a point of breakthrough, that because this is, we have not seen it before. You understand? We haven't seen it before. So for the fear that we are seeing it, it means there's advance. It's a big breakthrough to even be able to begin to see it for what it is. You know? And we're praying that that it will grow. You know? So that's the challenge that we now have to be able to address the issue that it is the saving of the soul. And that the soul is a realm of the spirit. You know, and it's the essence of everything. Everything is just within that platform that God is dealing with the soul at His dwelling place, and that the soul has fallen and become a realm of rebellion. You know, the Greeks understood. You know, that's why most of, if you look at everything in modern societies. Pattern after the Greeks and the Romans, and that's what I'm interested in. I look at the Greek history and all that. The words, the Greek words, you know, everything that you're doing is based on the, because in the Greeks and the Romans, even the Egyptians, of course, which are closer to us, the Hamites, they understood the underworld. They call it the other world. You know, they said, okay, maybe the world is the same in the water. Somebody said, if you go to the water, the technologies that they have in water are centuries advanced. They bring it out. And, you know, I think this is someone was designing a car. Where was that? They were talking about that. Someone designed a car. He said that, they say, where did you get your inspiration? He said, I went into the water and I saw the car. And I came out and I designed it. Those are the modern cars they are driving. So they understood. So they say Lucifer is the lord of the underworld. He said the dark lord. You understand? Ah, oh, forget it. All that thing is Satanism is gone.
I want to read that Matthew 24. When Jesus Christ said, Matthew 24:15, he says, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, he says, stand in the holy place.
Yes.
Whoso readeth, let him understand.
Mm.
Stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. There's a place where we have to be able to.
Is that why you see the abomination standing in the way?
When you shall therefore see the abomination of desolation spoken of by that by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso read it, let him on. I think we talked on this word last week. Or was it on Sunday?
The holy place is the soul. That's what he's talking about. It's coming forth from within. Say, only he who not let it will let until he comes forth from the mist. Okay, it's one of the places where they miss. They say until he be taken out of the way. It's not because it is ek misos genete. Ek means out. Misos, mist. Genete means the origin from within. You know, so the abomination is the darkness is within. So when you see a man go to a cinema hall and start shooting people, my God, his spirit now. It's motivated. In fact, a brother was telling the story of a man they call, is it other Sad Sam? His name was something about Sam in the US, who was a serial killer. And he was killing young girls, prostitutes, and all that. You know, they condemned him to die. You know, but before he killed him, one of the brothers, God spoke to him, said, go on, showed him that it was a demon that was. Tormenting him. Because he was telling the police people that I need help. That I don't control myself. That something calls to me and say I need blood. Now. And unless he kills, he cannot have peace. So when that spirit comes, he goes out and any person, any girl he sees, that girl is gone. His spirit. Yes. His spirit. And these spirits are more and more now. They are walking around. They are getting bolder and bolder. Because the more blood they have, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You understand? So, and when they can't get blood from man, they go to animals. That's why you say animal sacrifice. It's a substitute for human sacrifice. Do you understand? So, when you see spirits go and inhabit a tree, a river or something, it's just that for want of getting something better. They would rather prefer actually a human body and not that to dwell in. Because the spirits need life. They can't get it except through another way. And the only way is to make you walk in darkness. And in that way, they have access to you. You understand? So if there's no darkness in you, the spirit has no access to you. So that's why I say that dust will be your food. You understand? But you see, when God did that, he put a time bomb for the devil. Because you know that one day, one man will say, you will no longer be taken from me. And the weakness is so you cut it off. And so that is what the church used to do, to rise up and overcome the darkness and break down the power of the devil. You know. But there are people who are giving themselves more and more and more to the devil. They worship the devil, they serve the devil. They say this, look, I want everything to end here. I want the comfort, I want the power, I want this. I mean, that's they've signed.
Mm.
And they give their soul over to the devil.
Mm.
You know, that you're under. The pastor was telling me that young men, they come to you and say, look, I belong to this lodge. And particularly, again, in the oil company, it's very common. They belong to lodge and they get promotion. They rise. You know, I know that. You know, so it's getting real, real dark. It's really getting real dark. Not to talk of politics. It's getting real, real, real dark, you know. So we have to be able to rise up, you know. And you know, so looking at that scripture, we have to bring it down to family. How to bring it to the tribe, and then how to bring it down to the nation. So those are different levels of darkness. And God said, you must come out of it. You know. So the what you call culture, culture is darkness. Tradition, you say tradition, but people forget it. It's darkness. Bible says the traditions of the people are vain. The customs of the people are vain. They are vanity. I don't know about you, but the traditions of the people where I was born is from the water. Everything. I won't even talk to that man, he will tell you. Everything is from the water. The dances are dances that are taught to them by spirits. You come and see spirit dancing on the water, they come out and learn that dance. And before they can do that dance, they must go back to the water and take permission. I don't know, am I talking to... If you do it, you are dead. They go and they sleep in the burial ground. They go and meet the man that brought that dance and sleep on his grave before the man comes out. Those are demon things. Those are the things that we worship.
These are the things that formed our custom.
Of course, man. So you say, my custom, my people. What is my custom, my people? But I think that the Christianity that they brought to us, they now made the white man's. So they even brought the English tradition and brought and said it is the church and say it's Christianity.
Mm.
You see the devil. Mm. So he used that and turned people away from the true light.
Mm.
The Jewish religion is not Christianity or English.
So, if the light you say you have is darkness,
how great is the darkness? That's right. That's right. So they tell you if you want to get married, that the woman must wear white gown. That is from that. Who told you? That's Roman worship. It's Greek, and the man was wear black, and the woman was wear white. Where is it in your Bible? So the English people. They take that one and say, oh, they're having English wedding is traditional marriage. What do you call English wedding? It is traditional marriage. It is civilized traditional marriage. You know what? When you bring cola not and throw it on the ground, that one is
traditional.
Well, that one is uncivilized traditional marriage. You understand? There's only one tradition, and that is that. You see, when you learn how to transfer spirits, you understand? Uh-huh. So if you understand that, then that's why I say, if you're going to get married, you need the church to stand and bring the blessing of God upon you. That's it. And when you do that, you break this rat spirit. But if you go and you now go and submit to that, then you have opened the door. Anything you see, you take. You know. So, but you see, many people think, say, no, it doesn't matter. You know, can we go to throw away our custom? What is our custom? What is our custom? You know? So, and that's why in those days, to be a Christian, immediately become a Christian, they go and dig the ground. They say, the man is dead. Say, it's gone. It's not. But now, when you become a Christian, you say, I don't mind that. A Christian now doesn't mean anything because there's come from us. Before you won't even go there and say, you are going to join them because you know that if I go there, I cannot do this. But now we have watered it down. That. When you become a Christian, nothing changes. You just continue with your former, you just continue what you are doing. No difference. Not every governor in Nigeria is born again. Even every president is now a born again Christian. You know. So that's part of the darkness. So God is saying, come out from the family, from the tribe, and from the nation. And it's really deep, deep down. You know. There are so many things that we do, you know, when anybody wants to say something against Jonathan, I want to protect Jonathan because it's like, he's my brother. I have to say to myself, my friend, this man, I don't know this man. But you find something in you rising up to say, oh no, this is my brother, let me protect him. You know? So it's part of the darkness that we have to deal with. You know, I don't know if you know. Yeah, so it's really, 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 really down. Or like you're in the company, you want to promote, say, let me look for someone from Akwa Ibom, let me see, to groom him, to take over from me. What was that? Is that this? You know what I mean? Or you want to get married, say, let me look for someone from that will understand my language. It's all levels of darkness, you know? So, that, welcome, that we have to deal with, you know? So it's we really need to see God afresh, you know, to begin to pray, and this kind of knowledge is not common. It's not common, you know, and this was the anointing that we began to have, but not with this understanding. Those days, you know, in the early 80s, when God began to speak, there was such a zeal to be able to deal with it. But of course, the devil just distracted us along the line and made it. End time became. End time is not a big denomination in Nigeria. Is it not so? there are many branches in Nigeria now, and all over the world. Yes, end time. So it's lost its purpose. So God is starting. God is always starting something new, because man will always bring it down, because the darkness in man, he will bring it down to his level, so that it doesn't change. You know. So it's a real deep thing. And you know, look at Gideon. God used him to judge the darkness in his father's house. Yet that thing he used became a god. Become an idol. He made it an idol. And people were not coming there to worship. Do you understand? He was judging Baal. But he not created another Baal. So the end time people have come out of Babylon.
Yes.
But they have become the greater Babylon. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
That in itself is darkness.
How is this now? It's darkness. That's it. You know. So that means there has to be a personal revelation of Christ. You have to see it, you know, and respond to it. You know, it can't be an association. Let us go there. Let me go and all that.
Yeah.
It has to be a personal thing that we want has seen, and that's what Jeremiah 31:31 says. You know, maybe let's just look at it. Jeremiah 31:31. You will see that just brings out one aspect of it. Jeremiah 31:31. Yes. From verse 31, yes.
From verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it into their hearts, and I will be their God. And they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more.
You know. So this 34 speaks of a revelation. That's what it means. So nobody will need to say to his brother, know the Lord, because they shall know. In other words, the New Testament is about the revelation of Christ within your soul. What have you seen? You know, the old was, it was very easy, write it down, it's there, you read it. You know, you didn't, but this one is you respond to what you have seen. To the extent that you have seen is the extent. A man cannot give what you don't have. You can try it, try all the gimmicks. When the game comes, you understand? When our robbers are knocking on this door, that's when you know what you have within. You know what I mean? It's when you come to the crux, then. You know, so it's revelation. There has to be a revelation. He said, look, nobody will say to you, know the Lord, because all shall know me. You know, so the thing is coming down, and it's like an individual revelation. What have you seen? And a man can only walk in the light that he has seen. You can never walk above that which you have seen. It's not possible. You know, so people will at the end of the day settle for the level where they are, and that is what they have seen. You know, so you have to strive to see, and then to respond. You know, so so those who are parents, the children must see. You know, of course you can bring them to church. Oh, do this. That is good. You've done it, but the children must see for themselves. They must get a revelation for them. If not, it's not going to last. They'll just be doing forms. And the reality they have not caught, you know. So, and this is the New Testament, you know. It says, "I'm going to bring a revelation that no man will say to his brother, you know the Lord, for they shall all know me from the greatest." And then the other one, he says, "I will write my law in the inward parts." Okay, the inward parts speaks of the heart, you know, the actually speaking of the soul, actually, you know. And there was an offering called the peace offering. In the peace offering, what you bring is the inward part. It's not a blood offering, you know. It's not an offering you bring because of sin. It's an offering you bring because you're in fellowship with God, you know. So it's like you are bringing the inward part. You know, your soul, your mind, your emotion. And the mind and emotion are different living creatures. They're different living realities. You understand? You must come with your emotions and give to God your desire. You know, so that's what he said. When you bring your peace offering, you must bring the liver, bring this thing, and offer it to God. You know, so it's not just a physical thing, but it's like within the thoughts and the personality of the individual must be brought to God. I say, God, David said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." So God tries the reins. You understand? So it's at that level that, you know, God wants to be able to deal with us and bring revelation. And that's where the darkness is. You know, bring judgment and bring light. You know, in those inward parts. He says, "And I will write it in their hearts, and I'll be their God, and they shall be my people." You know, the issue of being, we say, God being your God, is very big, because man is a God to himself. Self is a God. You know, and self functions as God. And that's what the devil says, "Ye shall be as gods." So when the man did that, it was rebellion. He went against the authority of God and became an authority in himself. You know, and that's why the biggest offering is the offering of self. And it's not only you wait and say, "Okay, let me wait to what I offer." It has to be a daily offering. You know, it's something you give a little bit. First, say, "I die daily." So it must be a lifestyle. That is the way to work. You must have a lifestyle of dealing with self, you know, of cutting it down and all that. And, you know, self does not die in a moment. You know, it doesn't. And so you see in the tabernacle, there are two places where self is dealt with. At the laver and at the golden altar. So there are two, in fact, there are three altars. Or the brazen altar, and then the golden, and then eventually at the mercy seat. That's the final place. So you can see, God didn't deal with it at one place. It's a stage, you know. So there are people who, after they're born again, they say, "Well, everything is done." Like what the question asked yesterday. There's no way that after you're born again, that is all. It's just a reception. You have not really started. You must come to the point where the soul is brought. I say, "God," and that is the baptism. I'm initiated. That initiation is a commitment, it's a proclamation that I'm ready to be offered. and it must be done publicly so that all the spirits are hearing you. And that guy reported to the spirits in your village. Say that Cletus was in Lagos, so this is what he was saying. It's okay, no problem. The guy knocked your mother's head. He said, your mother had a heart stroke. Then when you come home, they say, fine, my son. You know? So it's all a network. They just set you up. And it's because of that public thing. They want you to test it. Are you really serious? Then when you get home, he said, no, I can't. And then you compromise. He said, this one is not serious. You know? So it's all a network. The whole thing is practical. It's all a network. They will set you up. They will say, this one is going. And they know the weak points and they pull it. Every man has a price, you know. So the devil knows more. He knows what to pull, and when that happens, you know that look, this man, if I do this, he's going to dance, and he's going to come to that point. You know. So those are the things we must bring as an offering to God. David said, "You know my heart. You know my uprising and my sitting. You understand? Even if I make my bed in hell, you are there." So the devil is not going to go anywhere because I've already told God my weakness. Every morning I wake up, I say, God, you now know that. You know now. See it. You must deal with it. And that weakness is a spirit, really. It's a spirit. A worship of a spirit in our soul. It's a spirit we are giving life to. And if you don't see it, it will be difficult. You just say, oh, well, it's just weakness. Well, it's okay. If you accept it, that it's normal. I'm sure everybody... One of the things about Nigeria is that we are scattered people. We are not organized. And it's a spirit. You haven't noticed, it's a spirit. Nigerians are always... I've been trying to get a word for it. I've not said got a word that will write define a Nigerian character. We are too organized. We cannot maintain anything. You go around, everything. You just, after 2, 3, 4 years, go and meet it again. It's all gone. The other people, that thing, you go 50 years later, it is as they kept it. It's a spirit.
Yeah, Lord, I read the report of
it's a spirit. Of what?
The report of the gas in 1920, the Home Office, said that Nigerians are planless, they don't plan.
Yes.
They are planless
yes.
People.
Yes.
They don't have long term.
That's right. And it's a spirit. It's a spirit. You know, so it's, and you look around, you can discern it. It's noisy everywhere. If you maybe get to Nairobi airport, nobody will tell you where Nigerians are. You know, or you go to Heathrow, that saves 640 flight of Air France. You just know that there is something special happening here. The way we behave, you know, the people carrying gala must go. The man is coming, he has 5 bags coming into as hand luggage. You know what I'm saying? 5 bags as hand luggage. She's wearing 4 caps as hand luggage. Nobody needs to tell you who this man is. You know, it's a spirit. It's a spirit. You know? So the whole thing comes down to, you know, to the basics of, you know, what we're looking at, you know, the inward man that has to be brought as an offering. I say, God, I'm laying it down. And it's not a one day offering. It's a Paul say, I die daily. Must be. So someone says, okay, I pray this day, I can't pray again today. You know, it's like you are trying to use a teaspoon to empty an ocean. You say, oh, because I did it 3 times this day, I've done enough. The darkness is so big that you must labor to do it. To do it. And we have not died for a long time. Maybe we died a little bit and stopped and said, God, I've tried. Even God knows I've tried. You know, and all that. You know, so we have a big challenge, you know, to be able to walk in this thing. And it comes down to the personal relationship, you know. It says, I will be their God. And they shall be my people. And you know, if you look at that scripture of being God, if you look at 2 Corinthians 6, that's the popular one. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, 2 Corinthians 6, from verse 14. Say, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, so, you know, you look at the description and you see that we are the ones that are emotional. God is not emotional about it. For one fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness. And what communion hath light with darkness? That's all we are discussing, light and darkness. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Bel, you know where it comes from? It's from Baal. In fact, it's a root word. If maybe when you have time, write down all the root words that come with B-E-L. Bellicos, rebel, all those, you know, it all shows somebody who's a rebel. You know, somebody that is difficult and wicked, that kind of thing.
Strong
setting. Good. Okay. Okay. Good. Verse 15. Okay. Look at verse 16. Okay, 15 says, and what part are he that believeth with an infidel? 15 says, that what agreement had the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them, and I will walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Because of that, come out from among them, and be ye separate, said the Lord, and I will. Okay, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. In other words, if we don't come out, if we don't separate ourselves, if we touch the unclean, the word God is saying, you will not be my people. But the church says, no, you must be our God. We will touch the unclean thing. We will be among them. We are not going to be separate. We are not going to be different from the world. Yet you will be. You know what? That's the rebellion. You know, say seven women that day will come and say, yeah, we'll be married to you. Only let us be called by your name. Mm-hmm. We'll wear our own apparel. We will eat our own food. Only let just answer your name. You know? And that is what we are seeing in the church. So, it brings again what I was saying today. So the unconsecrated church cannot be the bride of Christ. So how do you know the bride of Christ is consecration? You know, it's so very important. The thing that separates us is consecration. And that is the biggest problem that we have. Consecration. You know. And I think it's something that we need to pray that God will give us the grace to separate ourselves. Because when we separate ourselves, then God comes. You know, but the thing is that in our heart we love the world. And this world is darkness. Like what we were discussing earlier, you know, is the darkness. Everything that we love is darkness. And so that men shall be lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. Comfort. You know, and the modern world is built on comfort. You know, Somebody is on the internet. What is he doing on the internet? He's reading news about people. It's darkness. How somebody died. How one woman was walking along the road. The car came and hit her. And then they began to investigate. What is that? You know, you read the story of what has happened in America today. What has that got to do with? You know, but those are the things that we are, you know, maybe so my friend sends me a text message, let me talk to him and we'll discuss. So we're excited at going to check our emails. And that excitement is more than the excitement of hearing from God. You know? Good. So the whole thing is this, somebody is excited at the food he will eat. The type of food he will eat, how he will eat it. It's a profession how people eat food. You take the left the fork on the left hand and you wait for 2 minutes, then you bring it down. It's a profession. You know, you go to school 5 years on culinary arts, then you learn how the patients eat, how the Chinese eat, how the African people eat, and how eating is useful for the economy. Because when you eat the food, the farmers, that is a profession. And then we give ourselves to it and we forget the basic things. You know? So, it goes round and round and says, you know, but and it takes away from the basic thing, says that you are the temple of God. And a temple is a place where spirits are worshipped. You know? And how can God dwell in you if you don't have a realm of heaven in you? I don't know if you thought of it. Mm-hmm. How can God dwell in you if you don't have something bigger than universe in you? You understand what I'm saying? So there's much more to a man, to this child, than we're looking at. You know. So what is at stake is more than just meeting to clap hands. It's light and darkness. There's a war going on. You know, the devil wants to establish his authority and say, I will be God. I will sit over Zion. I will rule over the souls of men. What is at stake is the soul of man. That is the price. You know, God says, this soul is my dwelling place. I have chosen Zion as my dwelling place forever. The devil said, no, that Zion is going to be my place. I will take it by darkness. Darkness will cover it. So man wears darkness as a garment. Darkness is a garment for priesthood. I don't know if you understand. When you are walking in darkness, then you can bring life to the devil. Don't you understand? So the only way God can make you a priest of God is to change that nature from darkness to light. So that's why I said that the bride has made herself ready. And she was clothed what? In a garment of white. Speaks of righteousness. You know, so righteousness is not just doing it because if I'm not walking right, then I cannot bring offering to God. Mm-hmm. God cannot accept it. It's like, I think you were the one saying something about the source. I don't know, so we were sharing that someone had a dream. So you say you had a dream about somebody. Okay, you know, about water, you know, from the gutter somewhere. That's it. You know, so it's not just water, it is the source. You know, the what is the environment under which it is brought? Where it's coming from? You know, so darkness is there, and that's why the church has not pleased God. Because the source has been bad. It's, you know, God, well, our hearts have not been right. And their heart, God says, measure the temple, and them that worship therein. There is a measurement. That temple must come up to the measurement. And the measurement is the wings of the cherubim. I don't know if you understand. You know, man must have the nature of the cherubim. Now, you know, you say cherubim. Cherubims are, is lion. Is it not so? If Ezekiel 4, they are natural things. A lion, an eagle, an ox. Is it not so? And then the face of a man. So God is telling you that what I'm telling you is not up there, it is here. But you see, the lion speaks of an ability to have an emotion that is given to God, fixed on God, and nothing else. Of course, it can be that which is, you know, that feeds on the weakness of others. You pray, you follow the, you know, the lion just waits until and look for the weak ones, you know, so in the pack and goes for it, you know. But it's different, you know. So God says, God, that God that dwells between the cherubims. So if you are going to be the temple of God and God is going to dwell, what is telling you that your soul must be that the nature of the cherubim? And what are the cherubim? They are fixed on doing the will of God. Say, holy, holy, you know. So that means, that's like you are saying, you're not struggling to do the will of God. It's a nature of you to do the will of God. So in other words, that's a transition. You have to make this transition, going from where you are now to a point where you are doing the things of God naturally because you love it.
Amen.
You see, that has loved righteousness. You know, I hated wickedness. You know, somebody comes out, you go to England, everybody is behaving. They're behaving because if that camera catches you, you know how much it is? You know how much fines they're going to give you in pounds. And they will catch you, your photograph. Of course, they get your number plate. And it's gone. If they take your license, you're finished. You can't get a job. You can't get any reference. So everybody is driving quietly. That quietly is not inside, though. It's because of pound fine. The pound fine. It's because they are fearing. They are afraid of the fine. Not that in their heart they believe in the law. You know what I'm saying? God says, I'm very interested, I want the one inside where you will obey me because you love me. He said, you will hate wickedness. You know? That's what he said, I dwell between the cherubims. So that's the standard. Is that one?
That was where the law will not bring.
Oh, yes. The law will not bring righteousness. You know, it has to be, God had to go in and deal with the nature. And the nature is the nature of a rebel.
Yeah.
You understand? It's shown by a lion. Can you culture a lion? Look at the lion is a friend of the man brings food. They are laughing. And one day when the lion gets angry, what happens? The man is inside the lion. He goes his way. And he doesn't care. So you can't. So that is the nature. That's who I am. So I'm coming to God. I say, God, you know me. I am. This thing is there. You know what I mean? He said, the carnal man is enmity. That is the church. That is the real thing we should be doing when we come to fellowship. Every fellowship, you know. So when you say somebody comes and the fellowship is naming ceremony, or the other one, it tells you how far it has gone. Because every day you're supposed to bring another blow and hit at that man, that lion. Because I die daily. And the thing is that the energy, the strength, you don't feel it. You know, because you know the strength of the spirit of other sexuality or anger is so strong in the world because there are so many people who are giving life to that spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
So when you come to fellowship, there are not too many people who are hungering for God. You understand? So when you are saying the Lord will love you, you don't fear the life.
Mm.
Don't you understand? Because not many people, like many people, their mind are saying, Lord, they are thinking of the pot of soup that is at home that they are going to cook. And I talk about Lord, I love you. The heart is at home, but their physical body is inside the four walls. They say that in church.
Mm.
No, it's not good to. So we still need. So we need that place where many people will be crying out for God, and we are seeking God. There's such an energy, then, you know, so it will be stronger, you know. And it's getting smaller and smaller now because the devil is fighting, he's bringing a lot of distractions. And then, you know, we're getting more materially prosperous. So, you're telling a man, he needs God, say, he needs God, what? My bank account, anything I want, if I want to travel, I just sign the check and I travel. I don't need to pray. You know, my brother said, what you can see is not faith. You know what I'm saying? If you want to, if you have a need and you can meet the need, then you know there's no faith involved. It's when you don't have the thing that they say, God, I believe you. I want to walk in it. You know, then that's when faith comes in. If faith is a substance of what is not seen. But if I can see it, then it's not faith. And people like us who know a lot of book, we have seen everything, so we don't need God. If I need money, I just do this and this and that, and the money comes. There's no faith in that. You know. So it's the challenge of fellowship is to have a hunger. That was the hunger we had in those days, in the 80s. There was a hunger for God. I mean, you could feel it. You come and you can feel it. It's not there. I'm telling you, it's not there. What I see now is just caricature. I'm telling you, it's not.
There's no ambition. Just have what is sufficient for you.
Sufficient unto the day.
Because the whole system is the very thing.
Yes.
You know, so even ambition at work. keep riding. You know, the whole system, these ambitions have nothing to do with God.
What did Jesus answer them?
Even
in the
organization you work, there's some form of emotional intelligence that you are taught.
That's witchcraft. It's witchcraft. Go ahead. It's a refined witchcraft. Manipulation.
The web is everywhere. And I think it's God that can really help us to escape the web. Because some of the management techniques, clearly, sometimes I see that this thing is to cheat at us. And I don't like cheating.
Can you give us one example of emotional intelligence? One example.
Where you manipulate staff to get what you want for them to deliver, and sometimes because you cheat them, and then probably you go up some people and give them a false sense of belonging. So it comes in different ways, and deep inside you know that you are not truthful. You're just trying to get something from this side.
So let me give an example.
No, don't make it hard for him. Just give us an example.
A brother who used to work for me, and the brother was his brother, I work in a very peculiar company, where we employ 10 people and are all first class people. What we do our ranking, one must be first, one must be last. They can't tie. If it's 10 people, one must be first, one must be last. And they give you a name, they call it relative ranking, so it's not absolute. So next year, if you do very, very well, you can do far than you've done before, you can still be last, because everybody as well would have done very well. So it doesn't really, it's not reflecting what you're giving. It's actually in measurement with everybody else.
Yeah.
And then this guy came from somebody, but he was actually pushed all the way from Angola, hot there. So when he came with that, when you see him in meetings, he has all these things in his head. And then after the first 2 years, they told him that he was just barely in there. He was just barely out of the tent. Well, they have the upper third is in four quarters, actually, not three quarters. Upper third, that is upper 33%, from 66 to 100. They have from 33 to 66. And they have from 33 down. And now doing that, it was just barely out of
the lower one.
So it was very, very disturbed. And unfortunately, I was a supervisor.
Oh, Jesus.
I had to be giving feedback. So we had a normal, you're talking about, you know, the feedback has a structure. And you have to give it in that structure. So we gave the feedback. Finally, it was very, very disturbed. And one of those days, I called into the office. I'm telling you, I was mad.
Manipulative. What's manipulative? That one is finished. No, this is the reason.
So I looked at him and I asked him that, who should God do you believe in?
Who what? Who what?
What do you believe in? What do you think about your capability, your body? And he says, in fact, he's been down this place. And his company is respected. You know, this kind of that. So all of that thing has defined your life here forward now. So you don't even believe who you are any longer. You're taking everything that you are.
Honestly.
So now I talk to him that, you know, all these things. Bible says that the whole lies in wait on the evil one, you know. This whole realm is that you have to find something, you know, that keeps reminding you who you are. That's the one you have to key into. So every other thing you hear is noise. And because you're working in this system, you know, you're grinding the meals of the enemy. They have to measure you in their own measurement indices. So that measurement you have is not. So you have to make up your mind which of the measurement is the one that. Yeah. That is vital. But I can't tell you where I am myself. But as my ability, I go home, I'm happy because you know, what I mean, and that's why sometimes you have a very serious relationship meeting. I tell you, I was traveling because you know what, this one has already. The first day you join the company, they have the full potential.
That's it.
This is where you can get to. And sometimes it's very embarrassing, you know. And so the truth is that, you know, all of that thing is the measurement of the. But because we're in that system, you know, and sufficient unto that, whatever it is, there's an evil thing, which you have to contend with. You know, but then, as Paul was saying, this is Paul also said, set your mind. You know, you have to get your mind off this thing because gradually every day you're going to get out of this thing. But until that time comes, you have to contend with this one that is within you.
It's serious time. Because I was looking at that 2 Corinthians 6, 14. In this translation, it says, don't team up with those who are unbelievers. And we find out some of the corporations, the owners are not believers. They have their
some. Some.
All of them have. So probably you have to team up with them, whether you like it or not, to help them realize their own potential. Yes.
We really have a choice.
He said, I just sent them out to carry only, to just carry anything.
Oh, yes.
I think you know that there's one scripture, I don't know at what point somebody mentioned it and said that give unto Caesar when I know it's when you're praying, you know. And I thought about the point at which Jesus said that thing. When they asked him to pay tax. And So I think that's kind of what we are, you know, talking about here also, you know. I mean, Jesus was living in that system. It required tax. It required that he pay tax. Now, whether Caesar is using that tax to marry Herod's
wife or not, it's not his business.
It's not his business.
That's right.
He has to pay tax, you know.
Yes.
So I think that that's the situation that we find ourselves in.
Regarding darkness, yeah.
So, yes, there's some things, you know, but we know that Jesus was not part of teaming up or anything with Caesar's marriage mirrors. Because God said we should submit to the rulers and to the lords of the land. But we know where our hearts are. So in the system that we are in, God give us grace. They are like brought heart to give the feedback. Whether you call it manipulating or not.
You have to do that.
His duty is to give that feedback and use all their concrete jargon to paint whatever it is. But then his heart, to the Lord, which is why we call the brother and say, yes, Caesar has declared it. Does it change anything that I think that's the situation we find ourselves in. We must know what belongs to Caesar. To pay the taxes, do whatever, but you will also know when your heart is
falling. When I was in university, something remarkable happened to me. There was a year that my result was terrible. And I thought I was feeling very good that way. It didn't reflect who I thought I was at all. Called my sister, she's a Christian, and I told her my issues, and all of a sudden, she was very happy. And she smiled. And she said, we all looked at me and said, praise God. And I don't know, I was kind of confused. And she said, she's been praying to God that God has to stop me somewhere. All my life, she was going straight. And she was just saying, well, let this boy not go and stop in the world. Let him stop before he gets
there. So she said,
this is an answered prayer. So now, but when you look at the whole thing, you don't have to realize that there where you are at that point in time. If a man that is like Christ said, we come to here for people that are okay. A man that is well is only a future. You realize that there is an issue first. There is a problem. That's why you're not okay. You have to go to God. If this thing was something that we can pick up somewhere and just give us a solution, we will do that. But you have to come to him for him to show us what manner of man ought we to be. So that's where the revelation of who Christ is,
yes,
what he can do,
comes in.
Comes in. That's where that you can't get help from anywhere to handle this kind of situation or deception.
Yes.
Except you go to him. So for me, I didn't realize how much I needed God until some things that happened. I don't know, this one, even the others can't help me. I need to go to God to help me on this one. Because truth is that they have to, the guy that wrote the book said that even this man, the high priest, he himself too, he has to offer for himself.
First of all, before he even start talking to you, the man must offer for himself before he offers for the people. Yeah.
So that means that can even help, because this man don't have deficiency. So you need to get out of there and get to someone who has done it once and has been
respected the whole. That's it.
To get it. It is a serious thing that I need to. It's a thing that is able to break that thing, that partition that is keeping us between us and that fullness, that wholesomeness, that complete man. And as you come to that place, then the enemy is going to whisper, this is not possible.
Not possible. Okay, I know. Who can overcome? You know what I mean? Yes.
But in the YouTube, there is a scripture that I read that they looked to the whole and there was nobody that was able to open the book to break the seal.
Yes.
And they were just silent, but someone appeared. Was able to do that. Only one person.
Oh, yes, Christ.
Unworthy. To do that. So,
and that's the purpose of developing a relationship. So it's first horizon, vertical. That is, as you relate to God, then you can relate with.
Yeah.
You understand? Uh-huh. So you have to see God. Open your heart to God. It's your spirit. You have to begin to learn to open your heart to the things of the spirit. And part of it is, you're asking God, change my appetite, change the things I like, the things I, that's the offering. As you do that, then God comes in. He comes to you and he shows himself to you. God must come to you. He must. He must. It says, to those who seek him, shall he appear. a second time unto salvation. You know, so there's no way any man will see God. God will not come to him. You know, he says those that hunger, I test after I shall be filled. You know, so
this one sounds funny. The just personal experience. Times when I pray, I have a feeling like maybe God is very happy with me that moment. I don't know whether it's like illusion too.
But he's happy with you.
I don't receive that feeling. Some feelings. I don't know.
Of course, yes, it happens. You know, when you have a witness in your heart that yes, you know, you can feel that closeness.
Okay, it's real.
Oh yes, it's real. It's real. You know, it's real. No, the thing is, you know, we haven't. It's like I met a brother. He came. He's from the Czech Republic, and you know they are communists. They teach them that there's no God. Okay, yeah, it's coming, yes. They teach them that there's no God. You know what I mean? Not like you. You in your head, you believe that there's God. But your own is worse. You understand? There is easier. And the relationship with God is real. Our own is colored by religion. Because, you see, in your head, you know that there is God. But you don't know God. Knowledge of God is not different from the reality, tangible. Now that is, you talk to God, God talks to you. God is like, as I see him, seeing you now, that's how he is real. You know? So that's the problem we have. We have knowledge, but not experience of God. So this guy, he said, look, God, you're not there. You're not that God. You know, someone was preaching. He said, okay, let me pray, make a test. He writes his bicycle to go to school. It's okay, God, if you are there, as I'm going to ride up this hill, I don't want to change my gear. I want to ride this up this hill with the same gear. That is no gear change. Alright? And he came, and he was riding his bicycle, he didn't change gear. And in fact, the thing just flew over the hill, just went over. It was like, what's going on? It's okay now. If maybe it's not okay now, make it to be reversed. You know what I mean? So he came back again and was ready. He said it was the most difficult he ever did. He was struggling, changed his gear, did everything. He couldn't go anywhere. Until he started calling and said, God, please have mercy on me. You understand? Until it was clear to him that God is real. In other words, so from that experience, God began to deal with him in a very personal way. So you could talk to God, you could feel God, you could hear God, you could feel, you know, which is the experience that we don't have. We'll probably have it once in a while that we'll hear God speak. But this, I'm talking about a reality. So that's sort of what we're saying. That we must come to a point where our experience of God is real and practical. That is, you have a need, you say, God, what do I do? And you hear, God tells you, this is the way, go there. But the point is that we don't desire that kind of relationship. We are happy with just church. You know, when we have a need, we think about it and figure it out. So God is still secondary. You understand what I'm saying? So that is where he brings, where it is. He said, I will be your God. You know, David, he wanted to go somewhere and say, Lord, what do I do? Do I go? Do I go and fight? Would you do this? I hear a voice say, yes, don't go. Go. So that is the reality that we should be desiring. Say, God, I want to feed you. I want a reality of God in my life. You know, and for me, that's where I've come to. I'm saying, God, I want a reality. I don't want all this grammar. I want a reality. And for us, we are religious people. Those who didn't know anything about church, they probably respond better than those of us who know church. Who were born in the Anglican church and all that. We know church. We have ideas of God which are not real, which are not true. You know, so we need that tangible experience with God. And you see, when you talk about the holiest of all, that other thing is grammar. When you see me, it means that Moses was there. Miriam was murmuring again. What happened? God came there immediately. God heard it. He came immediately. He said, yes, what are two of you talking about? Mm-hmm. It's okay now, I will see you. As he left, leprosy came immediately. You know what I mean? So it was real. And that is the kind of, that's where God is bringing out now, because when you are in a position like the other day, I saw the man coming, policeman coming. It's not, there's no grammar in it. I need God at that time to deliver me from the trouble I was in. You know? So we need that personal one-to-one experience with God. Where you talk to God, He talks to you back. Where you have a need, you speak to God, He speaks to you. Where you need to know something that He gives you, you need the wisdom He gives you. You have a challenge, you ask God, what do I do? God tells you, do it like this. And you do it, you get instant result immediately. You feel it. That is the holiest of all experience. In my own experience, God is no longer far. He is living in you and is with you. You know, you face the challenges of life, God is there. You see God in the thing. So that's where we can walk into it. Where, you know, that's what God is. You can be in that place now where you can hear God for yourself. And you're not guessing. You just know it's God that is speaking to you. And you're hearing His voice and He's speaking to you. He's real to you. You can touch. You know, that's the kind of thing I think God is opening to us, where it's not just story anymore. We are coming to, because the darkness is real. You understand? The darkness is now, is no longer far. Now you are seeing it. I say, God, evil has come. Evil, darkness has visited us now. So we need God also now, to meet it and to match it. You understand? Because the way it is now is really, really bad. I was talking to a brother, even food, if they talk about food, you won't eat. If they tell you what they are doing with food, you will not go near food. They talk about the organic things. If a robot tells you what they do with the things they add to your chicken, to your tomatoes, to your apple, in all these things, you will not touch it. I'm telling you, the wickedness that is there. You know, they put some things and manipulate. You know, want people to behave in a certain way. They inject those things inside the food. Okay, now you're talking about it. Yes. So the wickedness of man is gone really, really deep. You know, it's gone really, really, really deep. Is that what?
So it sounds to me like the peak of the sixth
day. Yes, we're coming. Yes. You know, so the wickedness of man has. And the devil is not happy until you are sad. You understand? So as people are sad and you have disease, the devil gets life.
Yes.
It's when you have disease that the devil gets life, don't you know? So if you are happy, the devil is not happy. It's when you are sad, then he's happy. So the world has to be more ungodly and so on to give him life. He has to bring more wickedness. Because in the wickedness, he gets life. You know? So he's sending his agents, you know, all over, just to plant evil and create confusion. And, you know, and in that confusion, he thrives and gets what he wants. You know? So I think we'll just stop here. I think we need to ask God for that personal relationship, that revelation of Christ. Not just religion, but, you know, the knowing of God, for the reality, you know. And I think we need that kind of hunger for it. You know, because if you don't hunger for it, then it can't come. So I need to be able to desire that personal, true relation. Not just, because I see myself, I'm satisfied with just church. You know, but I think we need that dissatisfaction with church, and I now want a personal relationship with God, where I can talk to God and He talks to me. Where, you know, it's like you say with Moses, I speak face to face. Others are in a dream and vision, but say Moses, I talk to him face to face, and that's where we should be. And He speaks face to face with us. You know, we can share with Him, and He talks with us, and it's not guesswork. We know exactly what He's saying we should do and what we should go to. You know. You know, so I think we can pray and just you know, see God's ways.
Psalm says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Father, Lord, we desire, O Lord, again tonight, to cry, O Lord, this way everlasting, O Lord. O Lord God Almighty, help us to stay on this path all days of our life. Father, Lord God Almighty, help us with faith not to veer away from this right path in any way. Lead us in the way everlasting. O Lord, give us that grace, O Lord, to follow you, to continue to follow you on this path, O Lord. And no matter what the other roads or paths may be looking like, we desire to stay with you, and we will continue to stay with you in the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord, no matter how rough, O Lord, to our flesh this path may be, O Lord God Almighty, tonight we ask, O Lord, and you please help us to shake off all the feelings of our senses that is making us feel that this is wrong, that we might hold on and continue to walk in you in the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord God Almighty, we thank you because you continue to give us this understanding. We thank you because you continue to show us, O Lord, of the prevalent darkness all around us. Oh, Father, Lord God Almighty. Well, we sang that song. We said that at the end of this world, you can see that light, you can see that open door ahead. You have made the open door. You have opened the door ahead, O Lord God Almighty. Father, we receive the grace, O Lord God Almighty, and the strength, O Lord, to walk with you to the very end, O Lord. You have made it available, Father, Lord God Almighty. Father, we banish, O Lord, every other contrary ways, O Lord. Every deception of Satan, O Lord. Father, Lord God Almighty, we wake up, O Lord God Almighty, to their influences over our lives. And we overcome them tonight by the power and the blood in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Lord, we ask that you help us. Oh Lord, help us. Help us, oh Lord, help us. We ask in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh Father, Lord, examine us again tonight. In any way we have joined ourselves, oh Lord, to Satan. In any way, oh Lord God Almighty, that we are feeding that spirit, my Lord. Tonight, my Lord, we pray that you will please, O Lord. Oh, put a stop to it, O Lord. That the enemy will see us and will know that these ones, they are not the ones that you will feed on. You will be able to move away. O Lord, we pray for that relationship with you. That relationship, O Lord God Almighty, that the princes of this world will see, O Lord, and they will flee. They will not even have a common house. That relationship, O Lord God Almighty, that will help us, O Lord, to leave every other thing, O Lord, that we might satisfy you. Jesus. Where are you, O Lord, tonight? We ask once again, O Lord, and please help us in the mighty name of Jesus. O Lord, we just thank you. Thank you because we know you answer prayer. You answer prayers, O Lord. And thank you, O Lord, for this door that you have opened. Thank you, O Lord, for the light that we can see ahead, O Lord. Thank you for the enablement, that strength, the strength you continue to give us, O Lord. Day in, moment by moment, day by day, to hold on to you. To hold on to your promises, to hold on, O Lord, to the light that you have given to us, that we may attain, O Lord.
Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.